children here. Let me tell you, your children are young. I'm very old. See, this cup, you don't know what that means, but when I was in elementary school, about your age, almost every class did this. It was an illustration about life, death, etc. And what they would do is they take a cup like this and fill it with dirt, and they would take a seed, and it was usually a lima bean. Don't ask me why a lima bean. They'd put that seed down in the ground, put water on it, and then all of a sudden, up would come this little green lima bean plant. That's just a simple illustration. A simple illustration. In fact, the Lord uses this in His Word. And if you want to turn to our text, very simply, it's John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Now, you have to remember that John, I believe, is writing from Ephesus to convince Gentiles, why should they believe in a Jewish Messiah that's been rejected by his own people? Well, because he is the Lamb of God, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. And an incident happens near the end of Jesus' life. And we read this in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26, which is our text. Listen to this. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast, the last Passover, were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them. This is interesting. What does Jesus say? "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I solemnly swear to you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Simply put, little ones and older ones, if you want to win, you have to die first. You must first die, then you win. Very simple points. Jesus' glory is in his hour. Remember when mom comes to him, Mary comes to him, says, "Look, they're out of wine." And what's Jesus say to her? "Woman, it's not disrespectful. What does this have to do with me? My hour had not yet come." All through his argument with the Jews, people are foaming at the mouth. They want to get Jesus. They want to chew him in little pieces and spit him out and stomp on him. They hate him. But it constantly through the Gospel of John, they didn't do it because his hour had not yet come. So now the hour's here. What's that hour? See, John is saying, chapter 1, he came to his own world, but his own people didn't receive him. But as many as received him. Now look out in the crowd. There's people from Asia, Africa, everywhere in between, right? Not many of you are Jews. The gospel's come. He's the Lamb of God for the whole world. The context is, remember, the woman at the well. John is highlighting the gospel is for every nation, every tribe, every language. His hour has finally come. It's almost like in his anger. Yes, it's finally here. Why? These are Greeks. They're non-Jews, probably proselytes. And, you know, they go to a guy who probably speaks Greek. He's from Galilee. He's bilingual. And they said, "Look, we'd like to talk to Jesus." And when Jesus hears this, he says, "My hour has finally come. My hour has finally come." Why? As the second Adam, what the first Adam blew, he wins for us. And he's the seed. He's the grain of wheat. He has to go into the ground and die or you and I wouldn't be saved. We sang Psalm 22. We're going to finish it afterwards. Jesus said that on the cross. He's quoting that psalm, and they are mocking him and rubbing his nose in the very psalm that he's fulfilling. Praise God, he's patient and kind and doesn't come down from the cross. He goes and drinks the cup and he dies. As we're told by Paul, he is, and the writer of Hebrews as well, he's the firstborn of them from the dead. The seed goes into the ground. From the cradle, he has to go to the cross before he gets his crown. Secondly, it's not only glory. His glory is in that hour on the cross, but your glory comes in being united to him. Look what he goes on to say. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But then he goes on to you and me and says, look, whoever loves his life loses it. How many of you love your life? Be honest, most of us do, right? He says you have to hate it, relatively speaking. You have to hate your life. Why? Because it's not yours. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask to be born again. You belong to your Savior. Okay? Your life is not your own. And you have to hate your life in this life so that, why? You gain eternal life. You must serve Him. And His service means death to your desires, death to your righteousness, death to your agenda, and resurrection to His. He is your mediator, but He is also your model. And if you want to enter into glory, it is what? Through the narrow gate, and literally through the tomb, to be raised again. It's true for all Christians, but especially those of you who want to be leaders. Some of you are already leaders. You've been ordained. You've experienced this, haven't you? What are we told in Matthew and in Mark and by implication in John when Jesus at the end, he said, look, you're all going to bozo out. You're all going to desert me. Peter goes, not them. Them maybe, but not me. Really? We'll get to chapter 21. Three times you deny me. Three times you must be restored. The reality is Christian leaders are targeted, right? Our brethren from Asia understand this. Came back just from Uganda, teaching there at a graduate school. Everyone has a story. Whose father wasn't killed, and he had to hide under a bed for a week because they came through the village and killed people. While we were there, a man from the Democratic Republic of Congo, his brother had just been killed the day before, and they're trying to wipe out his tribe, and the government will not lift a finger to help them. Strike the shepherd, Zechariah 13 says. Strike the shepherd, and what will happen? The sheep will be scattered. Brothers, you are targeted for persecution. And in case you think we're going to escape it, I'm not a prophet nor a son of prophet, but it's coming here. In your hood, to this city, to this state, to this county, to this country. Soon the persecution may break over our head. So the real fun is it worth it? You bet your eternal life it is. It is certainly worth it. What is it? Listen to this. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, what? The Father will honor him. You want the Father to honor you? Think about this. You are going to share in the honor of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, as under shepherds. Now, you must understand that. It's all built on God's grace, but you have to run the race. And you must follow Jesus Christ, and the Father will then honor you. You know this, right? You get service ribbons, right? When you serve, when you get wounded, you get those. You get the ribbons, you get the medals, and anyone who knows anything looks at that and knows where you've been, what you've done. That's what's going to happen in heaven. It's all on God's grace, but you have to run the race. And when you get those ribbons, brothers and sisters, you will, like the 24 elders, you'll throw it down at the feet of the Savior and say, it's all by your grace that I've run this race. Do you serve Jesus? you know, the Father will honor you. There is nothing that anyone can give you on earth that will be close to the glory and honor that you'll get from the Father. In your resurrection body, you will be honored with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I have to confess that I don't like this all that well. I love Hebrews 11, at least the first 7/8 of the chapter, where everybody's putting foreign armies to flight. They're dead or getting raised back. They're quenching the flames. But then some of them get sawn in half, have to run around naked, hide in the earth. The earth is not worthy of them, just as it was not worthy of the Savior. Lord, we don't like to think of this, but this is the reality. Teach us, Lord, to hate our life that we may gain it back. Help us to love being grains of wheat that follow our Savior. Lord, our death will not redeem anybody, but it is a testimony to the world. Like the book of Revelation, the saints who have whitened their garments, dipping it in the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And we cry with them, how long, O Lord? And we are told, wait a little while until the rest of your brethren die, who have to give their testimony to the blood of Christ and by giving their own blood. Lord, I remember so well Ed Clowney mentioning that the men who left Geneva with their certificates from Calvin's Institute joked that this was their death certificate, because going back to France absolutely meant that they would be killed for preaching the gospel. Our Dutch friends remember, Lord, that the Fries killed the first missionary that came there. Lord, we're not going to get off lightly. Just give us the hearts to love you more and to love our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting that tough, tough cup and drinking it down to the bitter end so that we could follow you into glory. Bless us now as we finish out singing the rest of Psalm 22, which starts in agony and ends in triumph. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 22D and E.